I'll be reading Romans 4, 3 through 6. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him unto righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
There is a lot of misunderstanding regarding the subject of righteous. The word righteous at its foundation means to be correct. The word righteousness is the state of having been found correct. We don't typically use this word anymore in common speech. We do use it occasionally to impugn someone's arrogance, call them self-righteous. A term that we typically use today is almost exclusively in the context of religion. It used to be said that if one was acquitted of a legal charge, that they were found to be righteous. And also, in acting towards one's fellow man, if one did good deeds, he was considered and said to be righteous. The problem, my friends, comes in describing one's relationship with God. How can we say that man can be righteous before God? That is, being acquitted of charges or do good deeds toward God. Obviously, we cannot, on our own merit, be acquitted of the charge of sin. This is basically Paul's point in Romans chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. Why do acts have to be counted for righteousness? Why can't we just be righteous? We can't, because simply put, we've all sinned. We've all heard the term, one uh-oh erases 99 attaboys. One sin negates all of our righteous deeds. Psalms 143 and verse 2, it says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous." Most of us know Romans 3:10, though we may not know it as the verse, where Paul writes, "There is none righteous, no, not one." So because of our sins, we cannot, in essence, be righteous. However, our actions may be counted for righteousness under the proper circumstances. I want to first start with what does not get counted for righteousness. One, right deeds that we do thinking that these deeds merit salvation. You look in Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 30 and going through to verse 33, see what I mean. What then shall we say? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel who pursued the law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it was based on works. They have stumbled over a stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And what is Paul alluding here in these verses? One that we need to take heed of today. That man has contrived systems of salvation that God did not authorize. It is with this understanding that we can understand what Jesus meant in Matthew 15 and verse 9 when he said, "In vain do they worship me with their lips, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of man." They had God's law, but there was more that they wanted that God did not approve. It was man's inventions that they were following and not God's. For Paul wrote in Romans 10 in the first four verses, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they are ignorant of God's righteousness and have going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." I think with this much you've gotten the idea that throughout the centuries man has attempted to replace what God has commanded with what men want to do. It doesn't matter how honorable the reason is. If it isn't from God, we cannot count it as righteous. If we are involved in sinful activities, we are not counted as righteous. James wrote in James 1 and verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, we might be able to fool one another. We might be able to get people to see where it sounds really good. But it's not that way with God, because he knows exactly what it is, and it is not righteousness. So with that, what does count for righteousness? First and foremost, Jesus' life was counted for righteousness because he lived a sinful life. I like what it says in Romans 5:19. For Paul writes here, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." We can find basically the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 21, where Paul said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him." How do we submit to the will of God today? Through Jesus Christ. We can, when we go through him, be counted as righteous. How do we do that? Through our acts of obedience. Romans 6 and verses 16 through 18, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." We can also be found righteous through our acts of faith. You see, this was what Paul was alluding to in Romans 4. The very beginning of that, he's talking about Abraham. Faith. Faith. Look at Philippians 3 and verses 8 and 9. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Faith, obedience, gives us righteousness. I've got two examples that can help explain this. The first two, and they're well known. I chose these because they are so well known. Noah and Abraham. These men live, their stories, their accounts are written for our learning. And they are great examples of righteousness and great examples for the doctrine of righteousness. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it tells us that Noah was a righteous man. But what we need to understand and need to know is that Noah's righteousness did not preclude God's grace. We read in verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He found favor there because he was a righteous man. Noah was also obedient. In verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he." We know the account. We know of the wickedness that was in the world in the time. Genesis 7 and verse 1, "And Jehovah said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." All the inhabitants of the world, eight people, found righteous. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we read of Noah's obedience and faith. The two things that we had mentioned earlier as a prerequisite of righteousness. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, he believed everything God said was going to happen. And because of that faith, he obeyed God's commandments. Can you imagine getting the initial command and waiting 100 years to see it in fruition? Would you not think that after about 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to start thinking, "God, when? I don't see anything happening." But Noah believed it. And Noah was patient. And he never gave up. Genesis chapter 15, the first 5 verses. We read in here of God's promise to Abraham of children of his own. It says, "From his own loins." Verse 6, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Romans 4, the first 8 verses, part of our scripture reading coming from that, tells us that Abraham was justified, that if Abraham was justified by works, he might have just received some worldly glory, but not glory before God. But it was Abraham's faith that God counted Abraham for righteousness. James chapter 2 and verses 21 through 24, it tells us that Abraham's righteousness was fulfilled when he offered Isaac. Abraham's faith becomes righteous when Abraham obeyed God's commands. And he offered Isaac. by just these two examples, these two men, we can see what is necessary for us to be righteous in God's sight. Now you'll notice I didn't say perfect, but I said righteous. As long as we continue by faith to do God's commandments, even though we will not be perfect, we can still be righteous. But there are some misconceptions of righteousness in the doctrine of righteousness. We cannot perform, per se, a righteous act. For this is what Paul said in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. What Paul is getting at is that we cannot on our own be righteous before God. Only when we act upon faith and in obedience to God's work, then we can act righteously. God accounts such actions as righteous, not out of any merit that is within us or act that we are doing, but because Jesus has authorized these acts within His covenant. When we go out and share the gospel with someone, are we not acting on the words of Christ? Those are works that can be counted as righteous. Paul in Romans 6 and verses 17 through 19, he says, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your member servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Any work that we do is a work of merit and cannot be counted for righteousness unless it's in obedience to God's will. Titus 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't works that saved us, my friends, but the washing of regeneration. We can't work our way into heaven. It can't be done. This passage, we need to understand, doesn't teach that every work that a man does is a work that can't be righteous. When we put our trust in our own works or we create works to substitute Christ's will, then we have created our own righteousness. But if we do it according to His will, that work is righteous. It is Christ's work that is righteous. Hebrews 10 and verse 38, but my righteous shall live, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. There is a doctrine out there. I don't know if many are familiar with that doctrine. The doctrine of imputed or transferred righteous states. It is a doctrine where a man can never do a righteous deed because of his sin. And so God must look upon Christ's personal righteousness as a substitution of man's. It means that we can never do anything right. But because of that, then we just have to rely on Jesus' righteousness to save us. But what this doctrine does not take into account is the fact that Jesus' righteousness is not his own personal righteousness. It was a system of salvation that Jesus bought for man with his blood. It wasn't his, it was God's. Romans 1 and verses 16 and 17 tells us that this righteousness is found in the gospel. When we act in faith, when we are obedient to God's covenant, God accounts that act for righteousness. Because we are trusting in Christ's covenant to be saved. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. All them that obey him. Jesus himself even said he didn't come to this world to do what he wanted, but he came to do God's will. God's will was that all men come to repentance to be saved. Christ came and gave us that plan, that covenant, in order to be able to do that. If we want to be counted as righteous in the sight of God, we must be faithful and obedient to God's commandments. Please don't be deceived by the doctrines that are out there in the world today on this issue, because many have their ways, and those ways are not God's way. Remember the words of John in 1 John 3 and verse 7. My little children, he says, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. Have you been living righteously before God? Are you in the right relationship with him? This goes both to the saved and the unsaved. Because even those who have obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to the apostles may not be counted as righteous before God if you have not in faith obeyed his commandments. If you are not a child of God, we want to give you a way to be righteous before God. By hearing the word and believing those words, your faith increases. And because of that, you realize that your life is not the life that will get you to heaven. And so we ask that you come and repent, to turn your life around, to change. Confess our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. You will then at that point, because by faith you have obeyed, will be found righteous before God. If there is anyone here this morning in need of the invitation, we want to give you the opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.